coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello everyone, welcome. Today we're going to look at Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 32. This is the first lesson for the second Sunday of Easter, the season in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought those who were ill into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing those who were ill and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go stand in the temple courts,' he said. 'Tell the people all about this new life.' At daybreak they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported. 'We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people.' At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force, because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin, to be questioned by the high priest. 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name,' he said. 'Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.' Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.'" For many people, Easter is as satisfying as a hollow chocolate bunny. Tastes good and is satisfying for a moment, but a lot of it just falls apart in the hands. It's hollow. It's not full. Good to have an excuse to celebrate, but then, as usual, it's time to move on. So, for whatever reason, the true message of Easter has not had its full effect on some people's lives. Hopefully it isn't the case of a long-time member of a church that they would feel this way, but you never know. Has everyone who goes to church grasped the full message of the good news of Jesus' resurrection from the dead and what it was for? Is there anyone out there, or even among us, who doesn't fully believe or understand what Jesus has done for us fully? When trouble comes in life, are you one of those who simply tends to break down because you haven't quite seen with the eyes of faith, and so put your trust in the wondrous message that Jesus lives, having died for your sin? For this is the full message of life, which you and I will once again grasp today, to reach out for and take hold of, to strengthen us for our daily living. He who lives is the one who died for you. Christ died in your and my stead. Now he's alive again. Does that message ring hollow in your ears, or are you grasping it fully? Are you still that person that doesn't get it? Are you going through life looking for a heart like the Tin Man, or some intelligence like the Scarecrow, or some courage like the Lion? Are you trying to work it all out yourself like Thomas in the Gospel? You might have thought to yourself, well, I wish I could touch and see Jesus. You may never admit it, but maybe some of you are filled with doubt, a doubt that might be based on reason or experience or despair, or a combination of these. You convince yourself, like the Sadducee, that the resurrection isn't reasonable, and it isn't needed for me to believe in God, perhaps, that if I could see and touch Jesus, perhaps I would believe. Then my Easter joy would be full. Lots of us, probably all of us at times, feel like we want more proof. But that is why an angel was sent by the Lord to tell the apostles, stand your ground and tell the people the full message of this life. The full message of the resurrection of Jesus is what they were talking about, that which gives us the comfort we need in life at any time, especially in times of trouble and distress, not just because he's alive, but because he took on death for us. Nothing can now stop a full life in him. This is the joy and confidence we can now have, where we can stand strong, solid, and unmoved in the certain knowledge of God and his wisdom for us in Christ Jesus. As the name indicates, the Christian church is based on Christ. The Gospels are brutally honest about the doubt that the disciples had on that first Easter morning. Only the women went out to the tomb. We talked about that last week. They went only to wash the dead body and wrap it with spices. Incredible doubt surrounded everyone. But again, who wouldn't doubt? If you had seen your dearest friend die tragically, would you bound out of bed hoping to see that friend alive just a few days later? And any sighting would be ridiculed as impossible. Yet as equally part of the joy of Easter is that many such encounters were reported. Christ had substantiated his word again and again, appearing many times after he rose from the dead, to proclaim the message that his death had conquered death. Many would have seen Jesus in the flesh, speaking and eating with them, after he had died. Experiences you and I long for, but actually, because of his words of institution, we are not far from today. Do we not participate in a feast with the living Christ at the Lord's Supper? Is not his very body and precious blood with us even in this hour? Notice how patient Jesus is with all of his disciples after he comes back from the grave. See how patient he is with his followers today. He chides them, as he does us, for our doubts, but he is patient. He knows our weaknesses, how we are more impressed with ourselves than with truth. Is it not still a squabble disciples have today, who is the greatest? And in light of Jesus' death and resurrection too, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Nevertheless, the power and grace of God is compelling. Jesus is there for his church, and grants forgiveness for her doubting, and even every other sin which our fleshly nature draws out of us. Jesus is also here to teach us. He continued to prepare the disciples and sent them out to the world to witness his love and service to mankind, his sacrifice, the very power and grace of God. And he still sends the likes of you and me to share the good news with all those he has put in our lives. When Jesus finally ascended to heaven, the 120 disciples in Jerusalem were no longer fearful. They were ready for action. And when Pentecost came, there was no holding the church back. So 2,000 years later, should there be anything today that holds us back? It brings up an interesting question. How much action can the message of the gospel produce? Is this something we can ascertain from any one text of Scripture? Can there be a situation where it produces absolutely no action among believers, or where the church is simply left at a standstill? These are questions we all must ponder in our hearts, for as we have read, there was plenty of action that took place in the original message of the resurrection of our Lord. In our text, disciples had even been arrested for preaching Jesus. They were so faithful that angels came along to spring them out of prison, so that not an hour would be wasted in the glorious mission of these faithful men. Perhaps we're afraid that angels would not come to our rescue if we spoke coldly the name of Jesus in public. But are we not to stand our ground? For there will be times when we need to speak up. Why? Because he really is alive. That means he really is with us every step of the way. He was with his disciples, and he promises to be with you and me as well. In every fear, in every trouble or hardship, where any situation makes us anxious, where you may be tormented with guilt over a sin or temptation that you are facing, think of Jesus. But don't just think of the fact that he is risen from the dead. Think of the one who became sin for you, who took that sin to the cross and suffered every trial and temptation for you, so that you might be emboldened to live for him because he is alive. We can be certain that we stand on solid ground. He who was once dead is now alive and is our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. The church today, then, should always be ready for action, ready to tell others the same full message, whereby having been adopted into his family as baptized children of God into his name, we are compelled to defend it, to honor it, and to praise it, contrary to those who would do nothing else but blaspheme the name of Jesus. From the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and boldly taught the name of Jesus. 3,000 believed and were baptized that day. Every day they preached and taught Jesus and healed in his name, and soon the numbers of believers in Jerusalem was 5,000 men. And soon enough, people then swarmed into Jerusalem from neighboring cities, many hoping that their sick would be cured. There were so many that the sick were lined up in rows so that healing could occur as the shadow of the apostle passed over them. Just as Jesus had said, the disciples were doing greater things than he. But of course, all their healing was done in the name of Jesus. But though all these wondrous things were going on, the gospel message was constant, and none other than this, that Jesus is the one who was crucified for the sins of the world, so that the world might not perish but have eternal life. But he is alive, because only by the power of the one who raised him from the dead are we able to do these wonders, the disciples would have preached. So the core of the disciples' message was what Jesus was proclaiming all along. Not that Jesus was but some miracle worker, but that he had come to pour out his blood from the cross, so that that blood would pay for the sins of the world. They preached that Jesus' life was given for the life of the world. They preached that it is his name that is honored above all others. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is to have grasped the full message of life from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the importance of this name, how it is not just some magical formula, but the very power and will of God in our lives. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Naumann, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Lutheran Radio News. An acute reading of what makes the news in the eyes of a Lutheran journalist.
Hi, this is Paul Hill. Join me every Friday on Lutheran Radio UK to find out what happens in and around the Lutheran Church.
Go to lutheranradio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program, because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about how, through the name of Jesus Christ, we receive the full message of life. As we continue, we're going to be reminded again of how, because Jesus is alive, he lives in you and me. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, please do send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. In confidence, the disciples preached everywhere, even in the streets, teaching the full message of the gospel. It upset many, especially the Sadducees, for they did not believe in any kind of resurrection or angels or the supernatural of any kind. Of course, there was the chief priest, and he didn't like the way attendance in the temple was dropping because men were realizing that they didn't really speak with authority anymore. So the enemies of the gospel message band together to destroy the church, and demanded answers from the disciples. And with these particular two, they asked, "Why are you filling Jerusalem with your preaching, making us guilty of this man's blood? Didn't we order you not to speak in this name?" But remember how it was an angel of the Lord who had uplifted them by saying, "Stand firm in your message and speak it steadfastly." So naturally the disciples weren't going to argue with that. They'd just seen an amazing wonder. They were freed by an angel. Nothing could stop them and nothing would. So they respond with, "We must obey God rather than man." This was an important response because the disciples had just said that the chief priest indeed had no more authority. And to his face. The disciples were effectively saying that there was no longer to be a chief priest office anymore, that they were not to be even considered priests of any kind in the service of the Lord in an old covenantal way. They were redundant, especially if they weren't prepared to believe the truth. All they would do is hinder it. So it is they who must be stopped from proclaiming a message contrary to Christ. For now there is only one chief priest, one Savior, and one message for this life, that is of Christ and Him crucified. Again, the full message of the gospel, the resurrection of Jesus, actually begins with the fact that there is forgiveness for the repentant sinner who sees Jesus alive again in light of His death on the cross. Jesus didn't die for anything that He had done, but it was for the sins of the whole world. And that is our message. For no other reason than that He was the one to have taken our sins to the cross do we celebrate His resurrection. This is our living message based on the living Lord. The Sadducees thought that the battle with Jesus was over because they did not see Him after He died, even after His resurrection 3 days later. All they knew was an empty tomb. But ironically, they did see Jesus and it enraged them and frightened them at the same time. Because one way in which they could see Jesus was in His disciples, and He really could be seen there. Their witness of Jesus was overwhelming. How could it be any other? They did everything in His name. Remember that that was the accusation put before them, and they were confused because anyone else might take them to be unlearned men, though they were followers of Jesus. But that was all they needed to be. In the name of Jesus, the disciples were unmovable and steadfast. Why? Simple. They had seen their Lord alive, and Jesus had promised to be alive in them. They knew God had made Jesus Lord and Savior, and there could be no name that could have higher honor, and therefore no other message could be preached. No blood could have greater power than that which belongs to Jesus. All other ceremonial sacrifices where men would happily look upon old covenantal symbols for God's sacrifice could never be permitted again. Christ had died for the sins of mankind, and so that was and is now the only message which should be put before our eyes, that we may dwell on this new covenant between God and man. And so, of course, this is our message. We are to never doubt its power and never be ashamed to bear the name Jesus. He is the source of our salvation. He is life eternal and He is our gift. And we can extend this gift with our neighbor. As Paul wrote, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Romans 1:6. And he commended fellow Christians to contend for the faith. Beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Solid teaching comes from the gospel of Jesus. Preaching anything else is useless and hollow. And so living your life for anything else is also hollow and empty. When it comes to faith in Jesus, stand your ground and do not give an inch. The Sadducees and officials backed off from further prosecution, even if just for a while, because they feared what the people would do. They could see who truly spoke with authority. They were fended off by disciples who owned nothing but a full belief in God. And God still brings His people through difficult trials, even those that truly test the faith. As the scriptures promise, what God begins in us, He will complete and bring to fullness and perfection through Jesus Christ. As Jesus is the author and finisher of the faith, He will do this for you. That is no hollow or deceptive philosophy. It is the solid promise of God. In Jesus' name, Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.